and walk through this identity series. You know, Apple makes computers and whatever else, and they're increasingly making other products, right? Smart watches and whatever else. They're thinking of making a car. So some people were wondering, well, would the Apple car come with Windows? Or maybe that would cause an identity crisis. Yeah, good morning. So speaking of living in our identity, what a great segue. Living in our identity, going through Ephesians here, chapter 1 to 3, living in our identity, chapters 4 to 6, how that plays out in different relationships. And we're in chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, just 6 verses this morning. I'm going to read verse 6. It'll come up on the screen, and then we'll go back in a moment and read from 1 to 6. But just consider verse 6 here. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Like I said, Paul keeps bringing up similar themes, similar titles, pieces of identity for the Ephesian believers here. And we've already talked about heirs and members of the same fellowship or the same body. We're going to mostly look at partakers today. But how does that unfold? And so how do we take on our new identity? Well, identify what our identity is. Go on the defensive against what's hindering that in our lives. Go on the offensive to put that into our lives, learn to believe, receive. And then what disciplines will play that out? So that's kind of where we're going here this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll read through verses 1 to 6 and see how this fits together in a few moments. Heavenly Father, again we bow before you, God. You are the teacher, the guide. You remind us, just like you did with the disciples, Jesus. You return to the Father. You say, if I go, I'll give you a counselor, Holy Spirit, who will remind you of what you have learned and lead you into truth. Would you do that here this morning? Help us see this as another picture of your amazing grace for us. Grace extended to us. We pray in your name. Amen. So verses 1 to 6, let's read through those. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. So he's referring to his conversion experience and God's call on his life to take God's message to the Gentiles, extend, make his grace known, steward the grace of God, and make this mystery known that Gentiles have full access to this amazing God. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. He says something new is happening here. He's opened people's eyes to a greater degree, that's Old Testament and New Testament. And this mystery is that Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Key phrases there, through the gospel, partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus. Earlier about the stewardship of God's grace. All of these are fitting together, different ways of speaking this. So before we get right into the considering the partakers and how that affects identity, the identity of the Ephesians believers and our identity in Christ, I want to look at three of these words to look at before that. First one is mystery. Uses it several times in this brief passage. This mystery is a counsel or secret plan which God shares with people. In most biblical passages, it relates to wise counsel of God in his guidance of history to its destiny. The most specific is when it's used in Daniel, for example. The emphasis is on the revelation that God gave Daniel concerning the content and the meaning of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the future. So he reveals the content, and it's called a mystery, but it's a mystery made known. That the dream was about what God was going to do. And that no wise man, enchanter, or magician, or diviner, see that in chapter 2, 27 of Daniel, could explain what Daniel experienced. This mystery being made known. And then it says in verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He opens our eyes. We can't see it. And he says the gospel, the fact that the gospel is available to Gentiles and all people on the planet, that's a mystery that God needs to reveal. There's a God in heaven who reveals this, makes this known. So it's not a mystery that God's trying to hide it. It's a mystery that he needs to reveal. Second word is gospel in here. It's the gospel. We're partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. There's an information piece to gospel. We need to know what Jesus did. We're going to celebrate communion. We celebrate what Jesus has done, and there's information there. But the word gospel or good news, as it's kind of grabbing that term, good news, is much more than just information. It's an action, and these fit together. See, if you were trapped down in a well, you wouldn't want the people up the top just to yell down to you and say, hey, we understand you're in a tight spot down there, a real significant predicament. And, well, yeah, we understand you're in a tight spot. That's good information. It's accurate. But it doesn't actually help. What you would really want to hear is, and we've got the person and the equipment to actually get you out of there. And we're taking that action now. With the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is information that Jesus has come, right? Paul says we preach Christ, we preach him crucified, the one who conquers sin and death. That's information. But he's already done it. He's taken that action, and it's available. Just take hold of it. Take hold of this thing we're lowering down to you, and we will lift you out of there. The appropriate action is already taken. It just needs that minimal response. This is the good news. Jesus knows the information about us, that we've all rebelled and sinned and turned from him. He knows that. And he knows it's going to be something we cannot do in and of ourselves to save ourselves. He's already acted, and he's made a way we can have a new identity in him. We can be children of God. Will we receive it? Will we take hold of that new identity that he's made possible? How do we live in and out of our true identity in Christ? Well, we need to identify what it is first. Again, they're heirs. We've spoken about that in past weeks. They're members of the same body. We need to learn how to treat each other as the same body. We've talked about that. Now we really want to look at partakers today. Partakers. What's it does it mean? And we need to stop trying to earn it. Because we don't earn it. We can't earn it. It's a gospel of grace. It's a gift. And really believe and receive God's grace. I'm going to show a video here. It's a pretty short video, but it tells us something about grace. And then we'll continue on. That's the third word. We looked at mystery, gospel. Here's a little bit about grace. If we can restart that, that would be great. With some sound.
Grace is a gift that keeps on giving. Grace covers for my mistakes. When I stumble in this life, grace is there standing boldly, ready to take my place. I can honestly say my life would be a wreck if it were not for grace.
Aren't you going to...
Oh yeah. Hey, everybody. Meet Grace. Come on in here, Grace. This is Grace. She always has my back. Grace, we've got a really busy day ahead of us, and we should probably be going.
Let's go.
You know, Kim normally makes breakfast, but, I mean, really, how hard could it be? Oh, that's really bad. Really, really bad. Oh, that was a mistake. No, I'm going to fail. I'll just make some more. Actually, we don't want these to go to waste, Grace. There you go.
Look, Nick, we're going to have a long talk about this. You've been showing up late to work, playing on your phone in meetings. So you're going to sit here, and we're going to go through the entire employee handbook to remind you of what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, actually... Cutting up this lunch thing with the guys, kind of a big deal. It's Taco Tuesday and all, so I'm actually going to be going, but Grace can totally handle this.
All right then, Grace. Chapter 1, Proper Work Attire.
Hey, Grace, watch this. Those were Cocoa Puffs. You got this.
And I was like, baby, oh, like, baby, no, like, baby, oh, I thought you'd always be mine.
Good afternoon, officer. What can I do for you?
Good afternoon. Do you have your license, insurance, and proof of registration, please?
Sure. What do I got, like a tail light on or something?
No, sir. You're doing 85 in the school zone.
Oh. Well, yowzers. That's pretty fast.
It's considered reckless driving.
Grace, I'm going to open up this door here. Will you do something about this?
Bit of a silly video, obviously, but in reality, sometimes we treat grace like that. Grace obviously isn't a person that Paul's talking about here in Ephesians. It's the grace of God, his acting, blessing us in ways that we don't deserve, forgiving us when we don't deserve. But we can really abuse grace. We can think, I'm free to do whatever I want, and I shouldn't have to face any consequences for it because we live in grace. That isn't what Paul is talking about. There's a stewardship of God's grace, partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ. And it's a stewarding of God's grace, not abusing grace. Grace of God is not a woman. It's not giving, we're not given the right to live any way we choose. We're rescued from a pit. And we don't get back into the pit when we've been rescued out of the pit. We're partakers of it. Partakers has the idea of something that we eat. Thus we say we partake of communion together. We eat it. We digest it. We internalize it. It's not a one-time banquet where we pig out and we overstuff like after Thanksgiving dinner or something and then we don't have to eat for 2 months, we think. That's not what grace is. Partakers has that sense of ingesting it, taking it in, but it's taking it in over time, constantly, consistently. I want to just read a few, explore this a little bit. Hebrews 3, verse 1 and 14. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. This isn't a one-time thing either. It's something we learn to walk in, as it said in Ephesians, the works that God created in advance that we might walk in them. We might take part, might learn step by step to live those out. Later in verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ, learning to walk, abide in Him as He abides in us, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, firm until the end. Later in Ephesians 5, right? The first three chapters are describing our identity. The last three are 4 to 6, living it out in relationship. This is Ephesians 5. But sexual immorality and all impurity of covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Right? He's referring back. Here's our true identity. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, or other than our true identity, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Here's the verse really we're walking towards. Therefore, do not become partners with or partakers of with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That word partners with is the same as partakers. Joining together. This is what our constant diet is sexual immorality or impurity or coveting, wishing we had what someone else has and making our life be about that. We can feed the sinful nature or we can feed our new identity, our redeemed nature, our true nature as children of the light, children of the Lord. We can be consistent with our new idea or inconsistent with our new identity. Particulars, it's a regular diet of this mystery that He's made His gospel known, and it's a regular diet of the gospel. I just read something on the internet this week. We need to remind ourselves and others regularly of the gospel because we regularly forget the gospel. Right? It's not that we don't forget it. It's that we're not currently experiencing it. We're not ingesting it, making it a reality in our lives. We're not making it, living out what is reality in our lives. It's that regular diet of grace. Again, it's not pigging out, oh, thanks for your grace, God. No, I'm good. I can go live and do whatever I want. No, it's constantly receiving, being on a steady diet of grace. It says we're partakers with Christ, partakers of Christ. It's a regular diet of Christ. What are we spending our time on? What are we actually feeding through our eyes? What are we looking at? What are we dwelling on in our minds? What are we taking in through our ear gate? What are we listening to? What messages are we getting? Or is it a diet of Christ and His plan for us? We don't abuse grace, neither do we become we're something other than partakers, where we come and celebrate that, we take something in. We don't turn it into being takers. Right? If you were homeless, just imagine, if you were homeless and someone meets you on the street, takes you in, out to their acreage, beautiful acreage, lets you live in their home, on their property, consume their food. Further, while you're enjoying life on their place, you do something foolish and almost drown in their pool, and it's that person who dives in and saves you. You live there for several years. You get married. You have a child. And your child does something foolish in that pool, and that person saves them. Wouldn't it be just sickening if we went to that landowner then and said, hey, give me more. Give me more. Demanding more. Hey, give me a car. As if what they provided isn't good enough. Isn't sufficient? Or when we blow it. Hey, I was out fooling around on your lawn tractor and I crashed into the garage. Huh. But you can fix it. You got the money for that. And we just move on. And it's either abusing grace or shifting into, hey, give me more. Give me more, because what you are offering now isn't sufficient. We can become really flippant about forgiveness. Yeah, hey, I asked, and then we quickly move on, not realizing the cost of this grace that we've received. Yes, we receive it by grace through faith, and it's offered freely, but it came at great expense. And we can become really flippant and arrogant about it. As though, right, it says, we are the promise. Partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. As if what He has promised is insufficient. His provision is not good enough. When you say you're going to take care of my needs, yeah, but I need to look after myself and take whatever I can. His protection, do we really trust that? His presence, is His presence really not enough? In our true identity, when we learn how to live out of, and we're honestly taking part, partakers of this mystery, this gospel, this grace, this Christ, and we're regularly feeding on Him, that's our usual diet, He is sufficient. And we're freed from this clamoring, trying to get more, trying to be dismissive about the things that we do wrong. We can be upfront and honest with it. Because when we're not living out of our true identity, we're failing to grasp this mystery, this gospel, this grace, this Christ Himself. Our true identity is heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise of God through the gospel. We need to go on the defensive and stop trying to earn it and stop trying to demand it. Give me more. Go on the offensive. Really believe and receive God's grace regularly. And we don't earn it. We can't demand it. I read another story this week of an orphanage. A couple traveled to this orphanage. There are older children there. And the person who runs the orphanage brought all the children. It was like a parade coming by. And they were to choose the child that they were going to adopt. And all the children come by. They're all dressed up, all cleaned up, really as good as possible. They all come by. And then they're talking about it. And they're going, is this all the children that are here? The person that runs the orphanage, well, no. Actually, there's one more, but they're not ready to be presented. They said, well, we'd really like to meet them. They had to convince the person that ran the orphanage, yes, we really want to meet this other youth. So he brings him out. Well, he's dirty and messy, not cleaned up yet. And they said, not because not of effort, he won't let us clean him up. And they say, we want to adopt him. And when the guy runs the orphanage, says, why? Why do you want to adopt him? And they said, we see in him the blessings of God for our home and a better life for him. We see in him the blessings of God for our home. God sees something good in us. We're created in his image. That's our true identity. And if we're followers of Jesus, we are chosen before we're cleaned up. But a lot of us are still trying to clean up our lives, aren't we? We put on the best face. We come here to church, and maybe we're red in the eyes because we've been crying that morning. But when we get here, somebody says, hey, how are you? Fine. Okay. Is there a place where we're really real? Where we're honest? That we don't feel cleaned up? Or we put some sort of pressure on ourselves, and instead of the freedom and the grace through the gospel, through this mystery, through Jesus himself, we can be free to be who we are and still know we're bought and cherished and chosen before we're cleaned up. Stop trying to present ourselves as cleaner than we really are. Because we're not. But we are heirs. We are members. We are partakers. We don't have to earn it. We can't demand it. And we need to believe and receive God's grace regularly and consistently. I want to explore grace a little bit more here from someone who is partaking of grace regularly. A real fan of her, she writes, Johnny Erickson Tata. She says this, God doesn't just give us grace. He gives us Jesus, the Lord of grace. It's amazing. You could just ponder that for a while. Celebrate communion. Ponder that. This isn't just something he gives or does for us. He gives us himself. Yes, on the cross. And constantly and consistently, he abides with us. Johnny Erickson Tata, for those of you who don't know, had a diving accident when she was in her teens, mid-teens, I believe, about age 15, and broke her neck. Has paralysis, basically from the shoulders down, has can move on hands some, but very limited movement. And she's in pain. She also wrote this, yes, I pray that my pain might be removed, that it might cease. But more so, I pray for the strength to bear it, the grace to benefit from it, and the devotion to offer up to God, offer it up to God as a sacrifice of praise. This is from someone who is partaking in grace, a partaker of the promises of God through the gospel. This is powerful. So most of us would demand our answer, wouldn't we? And she did in the early days, but she matured. She partook of God, had a regular feeding on him. She was a partaker of the mystery, of the gospel, of the grace, of Jesus himself, to the point where she can honestly say this. She also writes, God has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace. She's experiencing the risen Lord and Savior up close and personal. We truly long for intimacy with God. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. In him, we can have intimacy with the Father. But are we taking it for granted? Are we really partakers of the promise of God through the gospel? Or are we just kind of living our own life? Oh yeah, thanks for the grace. I said a prayer at some point, and we go on living our own way again, rather than partaking regularly, consistently, really growing in him, letting him fill our deepest longings, or are we clamoring after whatever we can get and filling, trying to fill it with much lesser things? Our identity is as heirs and as members, as partakers. That's what we are. Stop trusting in ourselves, it should say, not just stop trying to earn it. Because it's more than just trying to stop earning it, not demanding it, not trying to fill it with lesser, horrible, useless things, idols, but with what is truly satisfying, Jesus himself, this good news, this grace. Believe and receive God's grace. Take it into our lives. So how? Through discipline. We need to change our environment. It's hard to break habits, isn't it? We just slip into the same actions, same routines. What do we do when no one's looking? We need to explore why we're doing certain things. What need are we trying to meet in an unhealthy way? It might be a legitimate, very legitimate need of intimacy. But we're trying to meet it in illegitimate ways when we're going apart from God and we're not feasting on him, dieting on him, partaking in him. And it's really hard to be that disciplined. I say we change our environment. They did a study and they put a marshmallow in front of children. And then they told them, how long can you go without eating it? With it sitting there right in front of them. Well, none of them lasted very long at all. They did that same study, but they covered it and pushed it away a little bit. Well, they went a lot longer. Some of us need to remove some of the things that are hindering us from experiencing God. Not only under a bowl and over there, get them right out of the room. Otherwise, they're going to keep hindering us. We're going to keep going back to them as if they're satisfying, even when they're not, because they satisfy us a little bit for a short while. What are those things? How do you need to change your environment? We don't have the willpower. We overestimate ourselves in that area. I can leave it sit there and I'll be okay. No, I won't. Some of us do use food inappropriately. But it's really intimacy with God that we're seeking. Just we feel down about ourselves, and rather than diet and choose to believe our true identity in Christ, or call a friend and go, hey, would you pray with me? This is what I'm experiencing right now. I'm down and depressed on myself and this and that. And be honest, we try and satisfy it in some other way. We need to develop healthy habits. Regularly partaking of God. What's your consistent Bible reading plan? Right? It's the truth. We know that. But are we living like it's the truth? Our bread of life. Are we engaging with Jesus daily in a way that it is our sustenance? We eat physically every day. Do we feed ourselves spiritually every day? Don't be surprised when we're not living out of our true identity if we're not partakers. Consuming, ingesting, constantly. We need to develop healthy habits. We need to celebrate direction. The gospel is good news. It's good news. There's peace, there's joy, there's freedom. The truth will set you free. Be who we are and on journey. Can we celebrate that we're on journey. It's okay to be confused, be hurting. But is it okay to also not be hiding? Be real, right? Really, who we are. Celebrate direction. Hey, I didn't give in as early as I have in the past. We need to risk authenticity. Admit and confess and repent quickly when we blow it. Admit to someone else. Have no facade. Beverly and I wrote a series of dramas. This is years ago when we were first married. And we did this series of dramas on the conscience. And I was the weak conscience and played this part of a nerd really well, if I do say so myself. And we did this one skit, and it was good. We worked really hard writing it, performing it, whatever else. This one woman says to me after the service, one of the saddest things I've ever heard in church. She said, if I hadn't been in church, I would have been rolling laughing so hard. What? Why in church are we inhibited to laugh so hard? But we're also inhibited to cry that hard. We're just good at putting on a mask, and we don't risk being authentic. We're robbing ourselves. We need to push through that. And in pushing through, we discover an ability to live more and more in the true identity that He's made possible. This gospel, we experience it together in the presence of people, in the presence of God. In Him, we experience His grace. We're going to celebrate communion and ask those who are serving to come forward. Consider this. Consider what Jesus has accomplished.